We'll just give them a moment to get into here. There's still a few back there, but they'll come in this week. Good evening. Welcome here. I'd like to have you all right here, but I won't force you to move up. It would be nice to have you all close, because the Bible study, I'd like you close, but it is good you have come. We thank you for coming, even in this cold weather. I said to Tina before we left, it might only be her and me here, and then she said, well, then that's two of us will have Bible study, but I see there's a whole lot more, so we appreciate you coming out. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the power of the Holy Spirit be with us. Amen. Shall we open in prayer? Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you tonight. Just want to thank you for this day, even though it's a little chilly out. But we thank you, Lord, for another day of grace and mercy. And Lord, we thank you if each one has come out tonight as we look into the Bible study on suffering. It might be difficult for some of us to bring it out, but we pray tonight that we would learn some truths again or reaffirm what we do believe. And so we just ask for your presence, Lord, that you would lead and guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll start at the beginning, what I'm going to do, and go through some stuff, and then I want to go through some purposes or what good can come out of suffering. Are there some things, some good things that can come out of suffering, like purposes like of suffering or the good things? Genesis 1:31. That's where we have to start, I think. Genesis 1:31. This is God's original creation. God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. God's original creation. Suffering was not actually a necessary part of the equation. Because everything that God made, and he said, it was all good. The first man and woman, they enjoyed an existence filled with meaning, purpose, and enjoyment, and that close relationship with God they had that was harmed ever since the fall. With one another, it was made so good. It was made so perfect in the beginning. But he also gave man, according to Genesis, the opportunity to choose. And if you turn to Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge, of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. We all know those verses. They chose their way, and we continue to choose. Why is there suffering in our world today? Why does it come? Choices usually have consequences. Usually. Turn to Genesis chapter 3. This is the first time suffering, I think, is introduced into creation. Genesis 3, 17, 18 and 19. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. There you have it. Verse 17, in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. That was the start of it in Genesis. I'm glad that they had the question, why, under the title for me to have this Bible study on. Why is there suffering? Not if, but why? Why me? Why this? Why now? You ever felt that? I could go through the rows of the benches here today, and I could probably pick a lot of you that have suffered a lot. Maybe all of you have suffered in some way. We all bear this because of the fall, right from the start. We've all gone through hardships and trials, and there's many, many different ways of suffering. If you turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, Matthew 5:45, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Now listen. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. The suffering that results from some disasters or whatever, falls, hurricanes, different things, they happen to everybody. Rain falls on the just and the unjust. Your neighbor gets the same rain probably as you do. Evil is the same. Sometimes, though, I think maybe we go through hardships and trials, and maybe sometimes we think, well, maybe I've committed something, some sin, or God might be, you might think God might be angry at us for some reason. Or someone close to us dies, and we have prayed so much for healing, and then it doesn't happen. And then we start to wonder, okay, what have I done to deserve this? And it is so painful. So painful. Many of you here today have lost a spouse, or children, whatever. It is painful. And maybe often we ask the question with the psalmist, turn to Psalm 77. I just thought of that today. Sometimes we ask questions. We ask God why. Psalm 77, verses 7 and 8. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Sometimes I think we go through that. Sometimes I'm sure when you're going through suffering or pain, you ask questions. I don't think it's wrong to ask questions, but we do ask questions, and that's good. I'm going to take you to Luke 13, a scripture that they gave me. Luke 13, just the first five verses. Luke chapter 13. Jesus here was informed that Pilate had killed some Jews from Galilee as they were sacrificing at the temple in Jerusalem. There were present at the season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Of those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. You ever notice when sometimes Jesus was confronted with a question, he would very often ask them a question. And he asked them, do you think they were worse sinners than these other men from Galilee? Is that why they suffered? And he says, no. Jesus, I think, makes it very clear here that human tragedies are not always divine punishment. Human tragedies are not always divine punishment. It is wrong for us to, should I say, play God. It is wrong for us to pass judgment. Because if we take that approach, I think we're going to have a very hard time explaining the sufferings of the prophets or the apostles, even our Lord himself. How would you explain that? How do you explain, verse 4, the death of the people of whom the Tower of Siloam? Was it God's fault? Do we blame God? Those 18, they were just doing their job, yet they died that day. Whose fault was it? See, we need to realize that God does allow Christians to get hurt. God does allow Christians to suffer. Jesus suffered. Although he suffered unjustly, and the first thing we need to realize, we will never suffer like Jesus did. Never. He suffered more than any one of us will ever have to. Because he bore the sin of mankind, and for us that would be unbearable. We couldn't do that. Or we think of the apostles or the early Christians. They were martyred on earth. And we might think, well, if you look at it from our human point of view, we might think, well, God forsook them. God left them. But when you think of it from the eternal view or perspective, that changes everything. Everything. Because when you think of where they are then safe in the arms of Jesus, right? You know, I believe God has a much different outlook on this life that we live here than what we do. And that is why we have so much trouble understanding why he would allow suffering. He looks at this world different, or our lives. Maybe what we call suffering, from our point of view, is totally different in his eyes. Totally different. Think of Job. It was another portion of scripture, and I'm not going to go to Job and read chapters 1 and 2. Most of you know a lot of that. If I read that, it takes a little bit long. Most of you know Job, right? The story of Job. But we often turn to the book of Job to find answers to this issue of human suffering. But you know what? The more I studied it and I read it, I didn't find him there. I'll be honest with you, I didn't find it there. Because really, you know what? You know what Job's story is? It's a story about a faith in God in the midst of trouble. Really, that's what it is. Job's faith was tested when his world just came crashing down on him. He was perfect, upright. I don't think he was perfect in being sinless before God, but rather blameless before men, it says. But don't we think that God used Job's hardships to make him a better person? God often uses fiery trials to make you and me better. To purify us. Turn to 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. There's other verses we could share. James, turn to James just a little bit. James chapter 1. Familiar verses. James 1, 2 to 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations or various trials, however you want to say it. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. But getting back to Job, we need to realize, before we forget this, as we go on, that all of man's good eventually comes from God. Verse 16 and 17 in James chapter 1, you're still there, says this, "Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." All of man's goodness comes from God. Every gift, it all is but from his hand. We very often think we can do it on our own. Or we think we have the ability to, how should I say it, to get whatever we want on our own. We always need to be reminded that everything that we have comes from God. Everything that you have and I have comes from God. Everything. He is the one that gives us the power to do anything. And hardship is a way of reminding us or that we need to trust in our Creator, trust in Him because He knows better. Out of ourselves, we are nothing. And we need to always be reminded of that. Turn to Hebrews 12, verse 1. We're talking about running a race. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, this verse encourages us to run the race with patience. Paul here is referring to the Old Testament saints during their time of suffering. And they were supposed to be an example or an encouragement to us. Could it be that God wants to use your suffering so that you can be an encouragement to someone? Just think again of Job. When Satan tried to get him to renounce God, Job said no. And to me, that's always been an encouragement. Job said no. Job's perseverance encourages us. And maybe our little bit of suffering can have an effect on other believers. Just as an illustration, when I was in Hague High, just a couple years ago, by the way, I had a coach who tried to make me a better athlete than what I really was. I was never a great athlete, just ask some of my friends, Gerald. I had a coach, and he was a school teacher, and he always said to me, "You can do it. You can do it better than what you're doing." I said, "Well, how?" "Well, watch those guys. Watch those guys. Watch those guys." Like, I can't do it. Like, well, but he was trying to get me to them to be an encouragement because they could do it, so I could try to do it better. Romans 15, verse 4. Familiar verse. Romans 15, 4. "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." What has happened before time, those in Hebrews there, they died for their faith, and they're supposed to be an example of encouragement to us. How we respond to suffering is going to make us or break us. Circumstances often do more to reveal our character than to shape it.
our attitude towards suffering is huge. One guy said to me one time, I have heard better sermons at a sickbed than I've ever heard across the pulpit. How we respond to suffering, are we always complaining about it? Or do we use it as something to encourage someone else? Do we get bitter? Do we get resentful? If it's a result of personal sin, then we should repent. There's just no doubt about it. If not, our prayer should always be, Lord, your will be done. It should always be. And that's not always easy. When Jesus went to the cross, he asked, Lord, let this cup pass away, right? We all know that. He didn't really want to suffer, but then he said right after, but your will be done. And that's one thing that we need to come to. Hopefully we can all do that. We want to look yet at John chapter 9, just briefly. There's another portion of scripture that they had told me. John chapter 9, verses 1 to 3. This is a story about the man that was born blind. John 9, 1 to 3. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. We've all heard sermons on this, read this. But the disciples asked Jesus, who sinned? They thought affliction was something always brought about by sin. If you had affliction, if you had suffering, it was by sin. And Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents, but that God's works would be magnified or displayed or, how should I say it, made visible. That's why he did this. That doesn't mean we're not sinners. We all are. But God allows things to happen. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. The purpose or suffering. Are there benefits to suffering? Is there something good that can come out of our suffering? How many of you here today like pain? We don't, right? The only thing harder for me, my own pain, is seeing it in a 5-year-old girl lying in a bed. That's harder than my pain. That makes it harder. I don't like pain, but I tell you one thing, I would have taken Aaliyah's pain anytime. Anytime. That pain was harder for us to watch than anything, than bearing it. But you know what? We sometimes need that pain. Pain in itself sometimes isn't a bad thing. Sometimes the only way you're going to go get help is if you have pain in your chest, right, Frank? If we never felt pain, we would never go for help, right? Without discomfort, we don't go to a doctor. Children would laugh at you if you'd say, well, if you aren't good, I'm going to maybe have to warm your bum. Actually, the grandkids were over the other day, and I said, they were kind of running around and said, hey, you better be nice, Grandpa can spank. Oh, can you spank harder than my dad? I just bugged them. I just have fun with them, but... But when I grew up, I was scared that my dad might give me a little bit whippings because it was painful. Some of you have had that probably. But without pain, we never listen. You notice that? Somehow, it has to have some kind of effect on us before we listen. I don't want to overdo that, but there comes a point where some of that is good. But at the same time, we parents also need to remember that we also have to give our children a freedom to choose. We long to protect them from unnecessary pain, but we have to be careful you don't overprotect your children. Because the freedom to choose is at the heart of what it means to be a human being. And a world without choice is probably worse than a world without pain. Or worse yet, if people could make all the wrong choices that they do in life, all the evil that there is, and there was never any pain. Turn to Romans chapter 3. Starting at verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That's what happens. If there's never any pain. I'll just go through a few more things, and then I'm going to open the floor, and I want you to share some things that you think could benefit us. I think another thing about suffering or pain, you know what it does? It reveals exactly what's in your heart. Sorry, but that's the way it is. You know, the capacity for love and mercy, anger, envy, pride, whatever, they often don't get revealed until they are, or should I say, woke up or awakened by circumstances. Strength and weakness is usually not found when everything is going our way. But when suffering comes, it comes out. And I got that idea actually from going to the care home every week. I see old people. And you know what? Once their minds start to go, I can tell you exactly what's in the heart. It comes out. You will notice a person who has lived a nice life or a Christian life, they just totally seem to be at ease. Maybe it's not always 100% true, but very often, those that are miserable, and I start asking, okay, where do you come from, or what happens to you? And that seems, you find that, that's the way they have been for years. When suffering comes, your heart gets brought out there. Sure, Romans 5, 3 to 5. There's many other verses I have, but I know I can't share them all. But Romans 5, 3 to 5. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience. And experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. We glory in tribulation, do we? Another thing about suffering, I think one of the benefits is it takes us to the edge. Or how should I say it? It takes us right to eternity, right to the edge of the other life. You know, if death was the end of everything, then I would say a life filled with suffering isn't fair. if you know, death would end it, there was nothing after, then I would say suffering isn't fair. But we know death is not the end. We know death is the beginning of something. And it is often only through these difficult times, knowing that you're at the end, when we start to realize that. Sometimes there are those who find God only when they suffer. It's happened a few years ago. A cousin of mine lived a worldly life. And we started going to see him in the hospital, and others did. And he came to know Christ at the hospital. His wife didn't understand it. She didn't know what he was doing. But he got to know Christ. And he said this, and these are his own words: "I am so thankful the Lord made me suffer." I thought, wow, I don't know if I can ever say that. But he had come to the edge of eternity, right? He was going to leave here, and he got to see himself, and he got to know Christ. There is a benefit sometimes to some suffering. Romans 8, 18 and 19, just for a couple of verses here. Romans 8, 18. "For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God." Isn't that beautiful? The suffering of this present time, they are not worthy to be compared. So when we get to the end of this life, sometimes we realize that. And because of that, suffering loses our grip on this life. Our bodies wear out. How should I say it? Time takes its toll on them. If you haven't noticed, you probably got more aches. Maybe not you young ones, but us older ones. We got more aches. Can't hear as good. Can't see as good. One elderly gentleman said this to me. He said, "I can keep busy doing absolutely nothing." And that's what happens sometimes when we get to that age. He said, "It takes me a long time just to put on my socks. You should hear me," he goes. Whatever. Made me laugh. But you know, knowing death is not the end, the dawning of a new day, actually, I said to him, old age can be a blessing. You are closer, I said, to that other side than maybe some other ones are. Each new pain makes this world less inviting. Makes the next life more appealing. And very often, you know what? Pain actually paves the way for a beautiful departure. We're glad that they could go home. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. I won't go much longer. I want to make sure you get a chance to ask questions or share. Ecclesiastes 12. I won't read all the verses, but "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows are darkened. And the doors shall be shut in the streets, when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way. And the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Wherever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity." That's as far as I'll read. Isn't that the truth? Back to Job one more time. Job lost much. Job even had painful boils. Do you know this one thing in the scripture of Job or the chapters of Job, the book of Job? God never, ever told Job why. Never, ever. God never apologized for allowing Satan to test Job. Never. God actually, in verse, in the chapter 38, if you get home, read 38, 39, 40, God, you know what God talks about? Mountains. Goats giving birth. Lions on the hunt. Ravens in the nest. The strength of the ox. Take time to read it. That's what it is. The strides of the horse. God talks about all these things. You wonder why. He talks about the wonders of heaven. He talks about the seasons. You know why he did that? Job knew that if God had the power and wisdom to create everything, then he could trust God during the times of his difficulties. And that's why I think God told him all the things that he had done. I have done all this. I can do all this. Job, don't you know I have the power to do whatever I want? Take time to read that. I found that so interesting. God doesn't feel pity for him there for a while. He just tells him. One of the huge benefits of suffering, should I put it that way? We know that God suffers with us. And you know what? That should be an encouragement to us. Like I said, no one has ever paid for or suffered more than Jesus did, so he knows what it's like to go through difficult times. If you turn to 1 Peter 3, we'll read 18. 1 Peter 3, 18. If I can quickly find it too. First Peter 3, 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves or strengthen yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. Christ suffered. He knows what we suffer. He knows exactly what we're suffering. He knows exactly what we're going through. Another point, just a couple more here before we open the floor. God's grace is always sufficient. 2 Corinthians 12, verses that you know well. 2 Corinthians 12. Nine and ten. 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then am I strong. Paul learned that he would rather be with Christ in his suffering than without Christ in good health. Another point that I was thinking of today is I think in times of suffering, we often find the value of other people. Like I asked before, who would choose pain or suffering? We wouldn't put our hand up. But sometimes hard times bring us together. And that's a benefit. Suddenly maybe we remember our mortality and that other people are also important. More important than just things. We remember that we need one another. Second Corinthians 1, 3, and 4. Second Corinthians 1, 3, and 4. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Isn't that encouraging? We can help each other. John chapter 11. If I was to ask most of you today, how many of you would like to glorify God? And I think your hands would probably go up, right? Well, suffering enables you to glorify God. John chapter 11. Yeah, I'm not going to read this whole thing. It's the story about Lazarus. But I want to read verse 4. John 11, verse 4. When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Suffering also, I think, teaches us to pray. As long as we can help ourselves, we very often neglect to pray, or we don't pray like really pray. Should I say it that way? Someone has said it this way. We never learn to pray, at least really pray, until we are in a place where there is nothing left to do but pray. And I can take you to the Garden of Prayer, Gethsemane. Jesus, before he went through that, he had to pray. He asked for help to pray. And they couldn't. They fell asleep. But he needed to pray. I always say once Jesus was done praying, he could go to the cross because that's where the battle was. So in closing, for 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, and then open the floor for all your comments. 2 Timothy 2, 12. I'm not sure if this is a reward or what, but it does sound like it. That seems like a special place of service and reigning in the kingdom. If we suffer, 2 Timothy 2:12, we shall also reign with him. If we would deny him, he will also will deny us. For those who have been the Lord's patient sufferers, I sometimes wonder, is there a special place? Is there a reward? The Christian life, really, it is faith plus suffering. It is God's way of doing things. It just is. It is God's way of making us what he wants us to be. and that is often through fire. And you know what? Through that fire, he wants to make us perfect in his eyes. Open the floor. You can probably all have gone through suffering. You want to share something about that or some other thoughts you've had? Feel free.